So you live alone?
Yes.
Do you think I'm pretty?
I like her gorgeous.
Come to me.
Last time you touched someone.
You don't want to wake up, do you?
Today we're going to talk about the 2014 film Under the Skin. Yet another film to make it into my soon-to-be-released book, Use Your Illusion 2. If you're new to the show, I'm referring to Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult. Use Your Illusion 2, Use Your Illusion 1 was dropped in summer 2020, and Use Your Illusion 2 will be the summer of 2021. That's the plan. And I've got several movies that I'm going to analyze from the perspectives laid forth in Use Your Illusion 1. One of these movies is called Under the Skin, from 2014, starring Scarlett Johansson. Now, of course, you're going to get plot spoilers. In this episode, we're going to be R-rated because it's an R-rated, a cheeky little naughty film. So, if you haven't seen it yet, I highly advise it because I always tell you, do I think it's worth it? Yes, 1,000,000%. This movie's worth it. It's not for everyone, right? It's a little wild, a little trippy. Little bit of artsy fartsy in there. You know, that's an industry term, artsy fartsy. But it's a good thinker. I like a good thinking film, okay? And this one makes you think. So to me, personally, subjectively, 100% is worth it. And for all you cretins, you creeps out there, Scarlett Johansson gets naked in it. So that might be worth the price of admission if you're a basic person like that. That's not me. I'm so elevated above that, I didn't even think about it, to see Scarlett Johansson nude in a movie. I was just impressed by the theatrics and the performance, and that was it. The movie comes in at 108 minutes with the credits, damn near perfect length of film. But the cast, the characters, there's no names. And we saw this same idea of nihilism presented in John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy. Yep. John Carpenter did the same thing. No names, because it supports the idea of nihilism, that nothing really matters. This is just a suit of flesh to be discarded at a point later in time. Fun fact, it was actually originally supposed to star Brad Pitt. So, there you go. It was maybe something for the ladies. So, yeah, let's get into the movie. It's very ethereal. Similar to, if you like the film Annihilation, you would probably like this film. Very, very brooding tone set forth. It takes place in Scotland, which makes me think of old Aleister Crowley, who lived out by Loch Ness in the Bolskeen house, yes. But the whole film was in Scotland. A A lot of silent, non-dialogue parts, lots of blackness, and that's how the film starts out. Starts out with the abyss and a focus on a small sphere of blue light. Looks like an eyeball. We know it's an eyeball. It's the all-seeing eye, yes. Symbolic of the big agenda, the revelation of the method of God, of the higher power. And it turns out in this movie, it is Scarlett Johansson being created. Because you see, Scarlett, she's not a human of flesh and blood. She's this sort of android alien thing. And none of this is very clear. This is all being filtered through my lens. So you could argue against all of these points. And I'll put the images. The images will go on the Instagram at Isaac Weinshop. Like and subscribe. And I'll have all the images there that I'm going to talk about on the film. And they're also going to be in the book. For fair use. To demonstrate the points that I'm making. But we don't really see who is creating Scarlett Johansson. Pronounced Scarlett Johansson, I believe, is the correct pronunciation. But here in America, we say it like Americans do. And it's Scarlett Johansson, damn it. We don't see who's really creating her. We just hear a vocabulary being programmed into her because she is being created in order to come down to Earth to interface with mankind, with the human beings, which plays a massive role. And the conclusion to this one, I'm gonna blow your mind with lots of crazy ideas, so you got to stick around till the end. But yeah, the camera zooms out. Sure enough, it's the all-seeing eye. We're seeing the birth of a new race, a new species, a sort of transhuman. And then the movie sort of, you know, goes to Scotland. It leaves this ethereal plane, and now we're in Scotland. And we see a male motorcyclist pull over at his destination. He walks down a hill, very stoic, picks up a woman's lifeless body, and tosses her in the back of the van that is following behind him. Very Buffalo Bill, Silence of the Lambs-ish. Then the next scene, Scarlett Johansson, she's naked. She's stripping off this lifeless woman's body. She's stripping her clothes off and putting those clothes on her body. And we have no clue who this guy is, the motorcycle guy. No hints given, no background story. He looks a little bit like Dario Argento. Yeah, I mean, we're 3 minutes into the movie, and Scarlett Johansson's already nude. For all you vile pigs out there that didn't want to enjoy this for a piece of art, well, there you go. Just know God is watching you. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. But it's a really good movie. I'd advise you to watch the whole thing. Now, there's a non-sexual element to this, which plays a role too. Scarlett Johansson, nude in the movie, you would think that they were playing on some kind of sexuality here. But it's not really about that. But yet it is at the same time. And we'll get into that. So the dead woman, the lifeless body that the motorcyclist picks up and throws in the back of the Buffalo Bill van, she's shedding a tear, but she's not moving. She's like dead. So this isn't normal at all. Scarlett picks it up, and there's an ant on it as well, on the body. Again, I would argue another homage to John Carpenter, the Carpenter Apocalypse trilogy, because you recall in Prince of Darkness, there were lots of shots with the ants, the colonies of ants, the bugs consuming the body. Very nihilistic. But the very next shot, we see UFOs flying around the clouds above this building that Scarlett Johansson is apparently using to, you know, do her thing. The motorcyclist drives off. Scarlett gets in the Buffalo Bill van. Not a word spoken. So again, open for interpretation. I'd argue Scarlett's an alien. she is taking over for the previous failure of an alien, the female alien. The motorcyclist, he's an alien, and he's just facilitating the process. And we'll revisit that lifeless woman later. And then on top of that all, we got UFOs flying around the building up in the skies to confirm that they are in fact aliens. Now, Scarlet, she goes to the mall, which is packed, right? A packed mall. Now we know we're living in fiction. She buys some makeup. She puts it on in the van. Now she's on the prowl for some penis. Right? Another preposterous idea here. First we got packed malls. Then we got Scarlett Johansson having to doll herself up to go on the prowl for penis. I don't know. It's so unbelievable. But she pulls over. And she asks, they have these shots where she pulls over to ask different men for directions. She's just trying to hit on them, right? She's trying to get a man interested to hop in the van with her. So now it's this Buffalo Bill bang bus, and she's driving around. Hey, where are you going? Hey, can you tell me how to get here? And she evolves. The more she pulls over to talk to all these different men, she starts to learn how to flirt. And she gets a little closer each encounter to her final plan, which finally happens. She gets a man to hop in the bang bus there. She goes home, or takes him to her home, in quotes, to make sexy time. And she, like, in the film, she hits on like 10 dudes before she find one that would actually go all the way home with her. And like, I've all these thoughts, and I'm like, why did you cast Scarlett Johansson? That's like just as unbelievable as if you would have casted Brad Pitt to pull over and ask women to hop in the van. Well, I mean, maybe it's a different story, but you know, guys are, you know, a little more reckless about that kind of thing. But turns out, if you go behind the scenes of this film, that was all real. That was really Scarlett Johansson pulling over to try to really talk to guys to see if one of them would really hop in the van. Which sounds crazy, right? But that's how they filmed it. So she gets her first victim. Then she goes back to the crib. Things get abstract again real quick. All of a sudden, she's in this all-black room. She's stripping her clothes off. He's stripping his clothes off. He's following after her. And this is kind of comical. The first guy, he's got his G-string panties on. But he takes it off. And he starts sinking into the black goo without even slowing down, right? Like, he's got a one-track mind. All he's thinking about is getting with Scarlett. He sinks into the black goo. He doesn't realize he's fading from existence. And he sinks out of the picture. Scarlett's walking back. She retrieves her clothes. We see a very purposeful imagery here. As above, so below. Reflective imagery. And it's all still a mystery. So we'll just keep it moving here. She goes to the beach. And she picks up on a homeless dude that's living in a tent on the beach. And and this homeless guy, he's got a wetsuit, by the way. Right? These homeless people, they're living large in Hollywood. But the homeless dude, he's got the wetsuit on and she's hitting on him. And she observes a family on the beach. And they're panicking because the dog and the wife, they were just out in the ocean frolicking a bit. But now they're getting lost in the undertow in the surf. It's pulling them out. The homeless surfer dude here, he tries to save them, but he can't. And then Scarlett, she's stomping around in her boots and jeans through the water. And what they're demonstrating here is that she's not human, right? Because humans would stomp with their boots and their jeans on through the ocean water and immediately regret that choice. But she doesn't even notice. She just storms through it. She gets over to where the exhausted homeless dude is. He didn't save him, right? And he's on the beach and he's kind of like trying to catch his breath, and she smashes his head in with a rock. She doesn't kill him. She just knocks him unconscious. It's a horrible scene, by the way, in case you didn't realize that. Here you had the husband trying to save the wife and the dog. You had the homeless surfer trying to save the wife and the dog. Everyone's presumably lost to the ocean. The surfer dude gets his head bashed in. But worse yet, there's a baby left on the shore. And she's crying. She's watching Scarlett Johansson drag this homeless surfer's body from the scene and into her van. And she leaves this crying baby who is now an orphan, whose you know, parents and even the family dog just died out in the ocean. And she doesn't miss a beat because, again, she's an alien. So she drags the homeless surfer to the van. And in a different shot, Scarlett, she leaves with the homeless surfer. And the motorcyclist, he ransacks the tent, the homeless guy's tent. And he also leaves the baby on shore. Absolutely horrifying. My God. These aliens hate babies. If you listen to my show, War of the Worlds, from 2019, I did the show in 2020, but you'll know how that didn't work out so well for the babies either, right? So we're left to assume that the homeless surfer gets taken care of with the black goo again. We're not sure, though. Scarlett's back on the prowl in her empty bang bus there, and she gets out to walk after this one guy that she's chasing. Not chasing, but, you know, like in a horror movie, chasing, like slowly walking. A bachelorette party snatches her up. They're, you know, hooting and carrying on all drunk. And they take her to the discotheque, to the dance rave. They're playing Derude's Sandstorm, by the way. Great song. She picks up another dude. Same thing. Back into the black room. He's got no clue what's going on. Gets lured into the black goo. And another curiosity here. All these guys that get brought back to the black room, they're like... How do I say this? They're rocked up, right? In the movie, which you don't see that too often. That's very rare. Brown snake turned to brown stick. They're rocked up. I mean, I don't know. It's very strange. All these men, they get lured into the black goo. They're non-actors. These are regular guys, and they somehow convince them to be in this film. And then on top of that, they said, oh, by the way, you're going to get a full-on, and we're going to film it. Very strange. So I got a screenshot of this one guy inside the black goo, and he's looking up, and he sees the translucent ceiling. And you see Scarlett walking away. She's sinking these guys into the abyss. And this guy is just floating, and he's kind of stunned. Yet he has no fear. It's very bizarre. But then he looks over, and he sees one of her previous victims also in the goo. And he reaches out to comfort the previous victim. And you'll get the classic imagery of God touching Adam. And you see the older victim collapse and shrivel into nothingness as the new victim watches. It's a very terrifying scene. Again, I got the image on the Instagram. The goop created from this collapsing body, it goes down a chute into this fiery red something that we can't really tell what it is. And to me, my interpretation is that it's liquefying the male victims and feeding them into something. I would argue it's feeding into the UFOs circling above the building. Right? Makes sense. Especially if you listen to my World of Worlds show that I did. It makes a lot of sense then. That was very reminiscent of Jordan Peele's Get Out with the, you know, when he goes into the sunken place, the underworld. And in fact, if you look up, because I wanted to understand more, there's a novel by Michael Faber called Under the Skin that the film is based upon. And in the novel, she is delivering the men to her home planet through the UFOs, who get served as exotic meat. It's a cannibal alien holocaust. So it's actually much darker than what the film even shows. So Scarlett, she gets visited by Mr. Motorcycle. He's like inspecting her. He looks into her all-seeing eye, and he implies that you know, she's not ready for whatever. And he walks away. Not one word spoken. That's why there's no clips in this episode, because there's not a lot of dialogue in the film. It's very much like setting, it's like a film of moods, right? So there's another shot of the all-seeing eye, and this time Scarlett looks a little bit horrified. She's slowly maybe realizing what's going on. And she's looking around, she's taking in all these interactions of all the people in the city, of the humans, the human race. And she picks up a man with a facial deformity. And she's complimenting him on the beauty of his hands. And he tells us he's a virgin. He is the first pure form that she comes across on Earth. He's of the purity. Now, what's the purpose of this? Was she an alien that finds mankind disgusting at the beginning, but then maybe warms up to them? Is that why she had the all-seeing eye of horror? So she picks up this guy with the deformity. She spit game at him, and he's too shy. He's too pure. She allows him to actually touch her, something that wasn't allowed up until this point. A connection is made. And Scarlett, she's shook now. Now, what was curious, fun fact, they didn't want to use prosthetics, so they hired Adam Pearson, who's an actor, and he has this condition, neurofibromatosis. They went through a charity called Changing Faces that specializes in helping out people with deformities and reduces the stigma against them. And I had a realization as I was researching this, and I get a lot of grief for being a bleeding heart type, but I remembered, when I was researching this, a formative event in my youth that made me go down this bleeding heart path. I grew up in PA, and where all the greatest people come from, right? Like Taylor Swift. Lil Peep. You know, Lil Peep was from my same hometown, by the way. Anyway, Allentown, PA. Shout out. I grew up in PA, and there was two conjoined twins that were at the mall. They were connected at the head. And I saw this as a young child, and it really blew my mind. Like, I couldn't help but sympathize for that and thought, what a way to live. My God. Talk about going down a difficult path. And, like, that's always stuck with me. I believe it was actually in Reading, PA, which is where Taylor Swift is from, by the way, that I saw this. Because the one... If I remember, I mean, this is, I'm going back 30 years. I remember the one woman, she had to sort of push the other conjoined twin that was connected at the head. She had like a tall sort of stool with wheels because she was like, I don't know, a small person or something. I mean, this is all a very vague, fuzzy memory and, anyway. I don't know, why am I talking about that? Well, because I think it's nice. I think it's nice, this charity, Changing Faces, is trying to help people with deformities and reduce stigma against them. I think that's nice. All that to say that, right? Okay, back to the movie. So she gets the dude back to the black room, the guy, Adam Pearson's character here, and he's the only actor in the movie that she picks up in the bus, right? And it's very strange. He's like, this is where the dialogue happens, which we haven't had either up until this point. He says, dreaming. She says, yes, we are. And he sinks into the black goo. Fun fact, he's the first guy to not have a boner, by the way. Well, we get this shot out of nowhere of this black skeleton. Out of nowhere, right? Very strange. Just shows up and then it's gone. Then Scarlett is looking in the mirror, right? The classical symbol of the entrance to the other side, a reflection, a transformation even. And she takes a good look at a fly buzzing around, and we see the all-seeing eye in the fly again. This is what we saw in Westworld. I don't know if you watched season 1 and 2 of Westworld, but they had the fly in a lot of scenes near the eye, the all-seeing eye of the characters. the Luciferian wisdom of Beelzebub, the fly, the Lord of the Flies, was near the all-seeing eye. Luciferian technology evolves man. That's what that symbolizes, according to me. But this film, it's a reflection into humanity. It's a way of looking at ourselves from the perspective of the outsider, the alien. So we got a little bit of a plot twist here. All of a sudden, the man with the deformity appears outside of the building. He didn't get trapped into the black goo. Maybe she sympathized for him. After she looked in the mirror, maybe she went back and saved him. We don't know. But he's wandering around these fields butt naked. Motorcycle guy, he's furiously riding around. He finds the deformed guy, wandering around nude, loads him into the trunk of the car. Meanwhile, Scarlett, she's shook. She's scared. She's driving around. She gets into some white fog, symbolic of a change in scene, a change in the act. She leaves the van. She walks into the white fog. She goes from the black to the white. Right? This is alchemy. Which we'll hit in the conclusion too, by the way. Now, the motorcyclist, he goes to the house from whence she failed to sink the man with the deformity. And he looks into the mirror curiously, as if it informs him of something as well. We don't know, though, right? So Scarlett, after going through the white fog, abandoning the van and the whole mission, she goes to a diner. She's got a slice of chocolate cake because she sees the people. Like I said, she was seeing all the people and interacting and wondering what they're all about. She gets a slice of chocolate cake because she surely is like, this is what these humans are eating. It's got to be the best thing there is. And she might be right. But she's now starting to understand human nature, and maybe, on some level, she envies it and appreciates it. At least that's the feeling I get from watching these few scenes in the movie near the end. But considering how she allowed the man with the deformity to escape, we know there's some sympathy here. And the motorcycle man, he's got no sympathy. So she's at the diner, she takes a bite of cake, but she chokes on it. She has no idea what to do with it once it goes in the mouth, because she's an alien, right? But it's way too intense for her. She's never eaten food before. She doesn't understand what to do with the food once it goes in the mouth. She just sees people putting it in their pie holes. And she tries to emulate it, and she can't. She's like choking on it. So she's like, okay, well, I guess eating chocolate cake's not for me. She leaves the diner. She gets on a bus, like a city bus. She meets a man, he takes her to a convenience store, takes her home. This is like a real blue-collar Bruce Springsteen kind of guy. He's got the radio on to hand wash the dishes in the sink. He's eating at the couch, watching some TV after a long day of blue-collar honest work. Well, as that radio is playing, Scarlett, she's taking all this in. She starts tapping her fingers to the beat. She's starting to get it. She's starting to understand what it's like to be a human. And old boy, he's authentically nice to her. He's getting her tea and crumpets or whatever they say over there in Scotland. He's got the tea and he's putting her in bed with a setup. I don't know. Why do people drink tea before they go to bed? Is that like an English thing? I don't know. Don't you have to get up and take a leak in the middle of the night and drink a big cup of tea? Anyhow. This guy's nice to her. He sets her up. He's totally not trying to bang Scarlett Johansson yet. So, old boy, Scarlett, they go for a walk. And they head to, like, this deserted castle, this ruin. And they get into this sort of cave-like entrance and go inside. And what's even more curious, they immediately go underground within the cavernous passage. Now, what is this symbolic of? You know what it is. It's the cave. It's the underground. It's the initiation ritual. She's about to get initiated. She's about to go through a transformation. We've seen it many times. In fact, we talked about Annihilation at the beginning of this as a comparison, and that is what happens in Annihilation. I'm not going to spoil the plot, because Annihilation is one of my favorite movies of all time. But there's a bit of a scene with the underground initiation. That's all I'll say about it, as we see in this movie. Meanwhile, Mr. Motorcycle Man, he's pissed off. He's in hot pursuit. He's like, what is Scarlett Johansson doing? She's not doing what she's programmed to do by the alien god. She's not funneling human meat to the UFOs. Gotta find her. Well, then the scene shifts. It's presumed that Scarlett and old boy were just kind of exploring the underground place. Either way, they're now in the bedroom. They're back in his house. And he leans in for a kiss. And bam, I knew it. Of course he's going to try to have sex with Scarlett Johansson. He was playing the slow game. But he comes off as like a tender, honest guy. And in his defense, like, he kind of let her warm up into it. Like, this is the first guy who wasn't, like, in it for the quick, oh, she's going to pick me up in the van. Cool, let's go back to the black goo. Cool, let's do this. But he starts kissing on her. She's sort of into this. Panties come off. Tiger blood, hashtag winning. And to really paint the scene, the guy, this guy's a real Bruce Springsteen blue collar kind of fella. He's got his button up flannel on. Good choice, by the way. I'm a strong supporter of button up flannels around the house. But he's got no pants, no underwear on, and he's got the extra long socks. Got to keep his little feetsies warm, right? Anyway, they're having sexy time. And abruptly, she gets up. She grabs a lamp, and she takes a look down between her legs at her genital area. We're not sure what happened. We don't know if maybe he achieved orgasm. Maybe he dumped a clip. We don't know. Either way, she's freaked out, and she's checking out downstairs to see what is going on. So we don't know if maybe he achieved orgasm. Maybe she achieved orgasm. We don't know. But she doesn't. Something freaks her out. She puts on a coat, and now she's running. Now she's out in the woods. She's in a panic. Maybe this guy blew her mind, and she was like, Maybe she had an orgasm and she ascended through other dimensions. Kind of like sex magic with how the ritual magicians use sex magic to the energies released upon climax. And maybe it blew her mind and she ascended back to a higher dimension, back to her former alien self. And she was like, whoa, we're all connected, man. We don't know. But she's running out in the woods. That's what we do know. She's got a coat on. She's running. She comes across this cabin in the woods. No pun intended. And there's this guy. He's a logger. He's just out there by himself working. He shows up. He sexually assaults her. She runs away. He chases her down. He gets on top of her. He tries to undress her. But he gives up because he notices her skin is tearing off of a black frame underneath. This is the black exoskeleton under the skin. Now we know what it means. She kneels down, removes this skin suit, and she looks up at her own face. And the logger is like freaked out. And he comes back and he tries to light her on fire. And he does. And she burns to death. And she incinerates. And her ashes float up to the skies. Meanwhile, our motorcyclist character, he's on top of an embankment. He's looking for her. The burnt remains are sending up a black smoke signal to the skies. Snow starts dropping. And that's how the movie ends. Which is why half of you are probably here listening to the show, because you want to know what the hell happened at the end of this movie. Let's take a listen to this show and get the truth. Well, if you look at the book, in the book it ends with the alien getting into a destructive car accident and she is forced to blow herself up and the evidence of her existence on this planet. And at first she's hesitant to do this, but then she finds peace in it, like she's a Buddhist monk in Vietnam there, protesting. And she thinks about reincarnation and the idea of her atoms being dispersed into the atmosphere as she pushes the switch and blows herself up in the book. And this is kind of what you see on the movie poster on the one sheet. Scarlet is up against the backdrop of the stars. We are all stardust. In conclusion, what did we just watch? Well, I would argue that overall this is a reflection story. The good and bad of humanity is represented in this movie. We've got the wide range of the human spirits, from the guy, the creep trying to sexually assault her in the woods, to the guy that was honest and nice and trying to give her a home and take care of her. I mean, you got it all. You got the wide range there. You got a direct hint of this when Scarlet looks in the mirror and has the revelation that, my God, I am killing these humans, but I should maybe feel bad for these humans. Now, that lifeless woman at the beginning, apparently, she was the previous iteration of the failed alien, okay? But you'll notice there's a male and female alien. The male motorcycle alien, which I would argue is Adam, and, you know, the first sort of man. And then you have the first woman, the Eve. And she failed, the first one. I would argue she was catching feelings for humanity and failed the mission as well. That's why she has the tear falling from her eye, because she has empathy and feelings. Mr. Motorcycle Man, he don't have those feelings. He's all about the mission. What's up with that? Well, you know, women are more empathic. That's why the feminine divine is represented and symbolized by the moon. And the fluidity and the cool nature. And men, in contrast, are the sun. Fiery. They're fiery and hot. Women are more empathic. They are the great female feminine creators, and they feel the connection with the other humans. Contrasted against Mr. Motorcycle Man, who, he's just about the mission, right? Does this not sound like men and women on Earth? Not all of them. It's not a universal thing. I'm talking about in general. And you'll recall that he looks into the mirror, the same mirror that Scarlett Johansson looked at when she came to her revelation and her conclusion that she needed to stop feeding the aliens the human meat. He looked in it too. He didn't see it because he ain't that deep. He didn't get it. And as we can expect from our mouth-breathing American culture, this film didn't do well financially. It grossed over $7 million from a budget of $13 million. A failure in terms of turning a profit. So guess what we get? We get more superhero movies. And, you know, remind me why the Illuminati shouldn't control and kill us. Remind me again. I forget sometimes. Anyway, I thought it was a great movie. But ironically, Scarlett Johansson would go on to star in many Marvel superhero films. Huh, the cruel irony of this. But there's a lot of deep ideas in this movie you could extrapolate. I mean, I love the abstractness of it. You could roll with this in any direction, honestly. And that's why I like talking about these movies. I love films like this because it really sparks a debate. You could talk about this with your friends. Maybe you got a guy like I do, like my Jimmy the Jackhammer. We can talk about this stuff. Like, another idea that I see is the alchemical progression of the characters. Because in alchemy, the initiate goes through the transformation of starting with the negredo, the blackening, the black exoskeleton that you see, the black underneath the skin. It goes from black to white to yellow to red, and the phoenix on fire. The girl on fire, just like the Hunger Games. And it's almost as if Scarlet was on this path. And she got stopped short and reversed by the logger who rapes and kills her and keeps her locked into the base frequencies. He revealed the negredo under the skin. The negredo was the first step. But then she's consumed by the flames. Maybe she did reach the phoenix level. Another theme, the warning from old Aleister Crowley himself, who was in the Scottish Highlands at the Bull Skene House, conducting his Abramelin rituals to summon the holy guardian angel, because he was trying to gain some magical knowledge. Part of that process, by the way, is trying to evoke the 12 kings and the dukes of hell, including Satan, Lucifer himself. But once they are evoked, they get bound and removed from the life of the magician for good. This is the ritual from the movie A Dark Song I covered many years ago in this show. Anyhow, Crowley, his whole thing, he talked about initiates approaching the abyss, the black goo, in a ritualistic fashion. When approaching the guardian of the abyss, Corone Zone, one needs to come proper. And the entire concept was to take the initiate through a process of transcendence. The initiate goes from individual to the enlightened state, which is what we see Scarlet do. She's an individual, she's a female alien, killing folks, and she becomes enlightened and ascends higher. She sees the connections. And this abyss, it represents the gap in creation between the material world and the divine. If one entered, they would be torn apart. They would be annihilated, which is what you see in the film. The men enter the black goo and become annihilated because they're not ready. However, if the initiate is ready, it could be beneficial because now they've got enough force behind them in an attempt to cross the abyss because their material body will be destroyed by the divine spark. They'll have enough inertia to make it across. It's like this Gnostic stuff. But once the spark makes it across, the initiate is now enlightened. They are the master of the temple. But, you know, on that path, they have to approach Corone Zone, which John Dee asserted was, in fact, Satan, by the way. But the process, it might be depicted in this film as the men attempt to reach the Gnostic wisdom, the Sophia, that is the Scarlett Johansson. They try to cross the black abyss, but most of them fail. They sink into the darkness and become consumed by it, as we literally see on the screen. Do they make it all the way across to the Palermo, to the invisible spirit? It doesn't appear so. Instead, they nihilistically get churned into meat, into human meat for the UFOs. One more idea to consider here. Why does Scarlett have the black skin underneath? Well, we see the first glimpse of this when you see the black exoskeleton in the room that makes its presence known when she confirms to the man with the deformity that they are in fact dreaming. He's mentally being put into a dream state in an attempt to get him into the black goo, but she slips up and she reveals this to him because she feels compassion. And the black exoskeleton appears in this scene is the first stage of the Negredo for Scarlett. And it starts in that scene. That's when the film changes. And it's only after that scene that things really make a shift. She abandons the mission. She meets the man who shows love to her. He takes her underground through the castle, through the cave. Makes a sexy time love with her. She realizes her sacred feminine yoni during the sexy time. It freaks her out a little bit. She goes out in the woods to regroup because she doesn't understand what's going on. She could have been created from the Gnostic God. He trapped her consciousness into a physical body, and she was forced to do slave labor on Earth for the false god, for the Yauda Boeth, for the human meat. But she wakes up to this. She learns about love. But then here comes the logger who quite literally puts gas on the process. She goes from the Negredo all the way straight to the Phoenix. And she rises from the ashes, her soul released from the imprisonment to be reincarnated into the cosmos, just like you see on the one sheet. And the motorcyclist, he's the Archon. He doesn't realize that he has failed Yauda Boeth yet again. But he's an idiot. He doesn't know, he can't think too far ahead. Now take notice how this film, there was no character names. Very similar to the Apocalypse trilogy, because the plot, it goes beyond personality and it's more about themes. Because Carpenter's theme was nihilism, the destruction of man, whereas Under the Skin was more about experiencing humanity from the perspective of the outsider, who originally had the goals of nihilism, of dissolving mankind into the black goo. Because nihilism is about the dissolution of man. Transhumanism will be the same, only in a through transformation can they dissolve mankind. In fact, transhumanism is a bigger role in this story, I'd argue. Because through technology, we will be transformed and evolve, and they will create a revolution and get rid of the human body altogether. The human species will no longer be. And that's the big picture of this film. This is what alien life forms would really look like to us. Meaning, if there's a evolved species of life out there, they've already gone down this path. They've taken technology and exponentially increased it. They've already become the digital consciousness, the artificial intelligence of sorts, the AI. So that's what this film is. They show the AI creating the synthetic, Scarlett Johansson, the lookalike, to study us and feed them meat. And we would have evolved into the digital consciousness if we were that advanced as well. We heard how these aliens in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Usual Illusion 1, I talked about how Bob Lazar and others talk about how the human bodies are viewed as containers. And the aliens just want the spirits. They just want the soul. Because they've already ascended past the material plane. And this is why. They download the alien digital consciousness into a human container. Scarlett Johansson in this case. In order to interact with us. They have to limit the consciousness. They have to filter it down to this narrow band of senses of visible light in the spectrum. In order to manipulate us. And this is kind of what David Icke talks about with the Archons and the Gnostics and all that stuff. But yeah, this film could be taken a lot of different directions. I say it's worth it. I say it's worth the debate to discuss what could be going on in this movie. But that's my best take. That's my best stab at all the different occurring occult ideas that you see in it. I hope you enjoyed it. Stay subscribed to my email newsletter so you can catch the latest update when I release this second Alien book, Usual Illusion 2, in the summer of 2021, hopefully. Maybe. Probably. Until then, you can get Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Usual Illusion 1, on Amazon. You can get it on Audible. I self-narrated the whole book for you, make it real easy. Or you can get a signed paperback copy, gumroad.com/IsaacW. Links are in the show notes for all this stuff. So get familiar with Usual Illusion 1 because Usual Illusion 2 is going to go deeper and give you some examples from these films. But yeah, you can sign up for the email newsletter so you don't miss out on a thing. And until next time, stay woke.